Writer Michelle Fiol is here to talk about her book, Teaching the Cat to Sit, and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your book, Teaching the Cat to Sit.
Teaching the Cat to Sit is the story of my journey growing up gay and Catholic in the Texas Bible Belt. And it's interwoven, though, with something that happened in 2010 here when our son was expelled from his Catholic preschool because he had two moms.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Definitely the impetus was the expulsion. The fact that the kid doesn't choose their parents just seemed like such a black and white issue no matter where somebody stood on gay rights. A child is completely innocent and doesn't have anything to do with who his parents are, and so how could he be expelled from school because of who his parents are? So that was really sort of the jumping off point. And then my family's reaction and not supporting me in that decision, my parents, to go public about it, really was sort of the final act of bravery, I think, on my part of realizing, hey, we haven't come as far as I thought we had in my family.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
I think first and foremost, I needed to write it. I mean, it's one of those things where I think sometimes you just need to let everything out. And the fact that it became a book that is relatable to people, I think, is sort of the icing on that cake. It's validation. It makes me feel like I'm less alone. And so if the book does anything, I would hope that it does that. It makes people who are in similar situations or relate to some parts of this book, that they feel a little bit less alone. I think it's really tough to get through the rough patches of family, society, religion, and even our own shame on this path as LGBTQ, and it just helps to let you know that you're not alone and you can get through this.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
I speak at LGBTQ events and at churches too, so I think a lot of the divide that happens in the ostracization and kids being turned away by their families and all this kind of thing stems from religion and religious beliefs, and so that divide between gays and Christians is at the heart of sort of what remains in terms of our fight. And I feel like I'm a bit of an oxymoron to a lot of people because I am a gay Christian. And so I'll go and I'll talk about both my faith and my partner and show that the two aren't incongruous and hopefully start to mend that divide rather than make it bigger. The other issue that's important for me with our rights would be adoption and gay adoption in particular. So the fact that other married couples can adopt children, for instance, from foster care or from other places and not have to go through extra hoops to be both be parents on the adoption certificates and that kind of thing. I can't do that. You know, my partner and I, we have to go to an extra lawyer and all these other things because we can't marry in the state that we live in, which is Colorado.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
Exactly what I was just mentioning. I mean, I would love to see that marriage is legal in every single state in the United States. I'd love to see it be legal everywhere, but I still can't get married in Colorado, and my partner keeps talking about us going to California to get married, and I keep saying, you know, and it's been 16 years. What is it to wait one or two more? I think we're very close here in Colorado, but I don't want an asterisk by my name, you know, by our marriage. I don't want to go to California and have it be legal and then come back here and have it not recognized here, as if there's some kind of disclaimer on it. So this is where we live, this is where we built our home, and this is where I want to get married.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
I'd say don't give up. You know, it's sad to me that all of this is still happening, and I know that it does, and, you know, I think things are getting better, but I think then and now is that you can't give up. I mean, I had, you know, kids yelling, Michelle Fiol has a dick at my house, and even my college track team would cover up their mouth and pretend to be two girls kissing on the back of the bus when I'd walk in. I mean, worse things that happen. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I have an incredible life, an incredible blessed life, blessed career, partnership, family, and my parents, even though I thought they would go away and leave me for good, are still in my life and still around. You know, I considered suicide, especially when my family, it seemed like, had abandoned me and my friends and some of the organizations I worked with. I went to New Mexico, and some guys tried to carjack me at gunpoint, and I realized at that point that I wanted to live, but I didn't want to live the way I was living, which was completely in the closet and terrified, and that I needed to live a big, full life out and learn how to live with myself, too, and all that fear.
How can people get information about teaching the cat to sit?
Amazon.com, they have some good blurbs, and I think a link to the video trailer, and my website does, too, on MichelleFial.com, and I think I have the link to the video trailer on that, and a few other insights, and even some photos, I think, from people who I wrote about in the book. They're in there as well.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, my day job, I'm the editor-in-chief of Alaska Magazine, and I get to do that from Colorado, which is awesome. Having been in sort of outdoor adventure travel writing for 20 years, I get to go up there every other month, and it's sort of the culmination of a career, I think. It doesn't get any better when you're an outdoor writer to be the head of the masthead of Alaska Magazine. That's just my dream job. As far as books go, I'm still really consumed with the ideas of the themes of family and identity. And the families we were born into and the ones that we make. Who is family, adoption, foster care, and how do children grow up and survive that, being alienation or abandonment by their families, and so those losses. So my next book that I'm working on is a novel, and it's actually about two children, a brother and a sister, who are separated in foster care after the sudden death of their parents.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
I feel like all my secrets are in the book, which was terrifying at first when it first came out and been very liberating after that. There's not much topics that I kind of stray away from. The one thing that I think is interesting is a lot of people ask me about LGBTQ issues, but not necessarily about the whole like foster care part of our lives that we embarked on, and that's very, very close to my heart. We're certified foster parents again in Boulder County, and in the United States there are about 400,000 kids that are in foster care at any given time, about 100,000 of those are legally free. And in counties like Boulder County, and hopefully in other places across the country, they actively encourage and seek out gay families, knowing that it's a perfect home for these kids. And these are more than appropriate families, whereas some people might have not looked at it that way a long time ago. That's something that I wish people would ask me more about, gay adoption, fostering children in the United States.
Do you have a favorite quote or a mantra to get you through difficult times?
You know, it's funny because I think about this, and the one thing that always seems to come to mind is the song from that Christmas film, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. It's the, put one foot in front of the other. I'll spare you my singing, but put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door. I think that comes up any time I'm having any kind of a difficult time, physically, because I have MS, which I write about in the book, but also, mentally, anything that comes up. I think one step just builds momentum. If you can just make yourself, without thinking too much about it, take that one step forward, just the act of it, even when it seems like you can't bear to think about taking it, I think it leads to forward momentum, and I think it leads to good things.